or in your WhatsApp a different kind of outline today. It's double-folded because there's a lot the Bible has to say about God's will. And we want to give you about five or six things that we want you to take home with you, and not only take home, but also to take into the future. Because this stuff that we are talking about, there is nothing more important that you will ever learn, that you will ever hear about, that you will ever talk about, than those things that we are talking about today. And so I want us to think about this, and this all came about as a question. Tom, why don't you tell us about the question? Maybe you don't have to read it, but just the gist of the question that came into us that kind of led us to the realization that we needed to talk about this today.
Yeah, sure will. The question that we got in was about something difficult that happened in a person's life. And that was Teresa Higgins, and most of you here today know Teresa. She's the one that's usually she's always in her wheelchair here on Sunday mornings, and she helps a lot in God's little house, does a lot here at the church, and you know, she has multiple sclerosis. And she said she struggled for a long time with why God allowed her to have that. And she just began to share on her connection card, or I think she sent it in by email, actually, and she was just saying, you know, there was times where she felt like God was mad at her, and there was times that she was mad at God, and she had a hard time figuring it out, and finally she accepted it, what had happened in her life. And really when it got down to what she was really asking, her question was, what is God's will, and how can we find out what God's will is for our life? Especially when we're praying. When we pray, how can we find God's will? And because she said there's been times that she struggled with that, and through prayer, she's been able to find God's will a lot of times, and she's been able to find peace and hope for her life, even in the midst of her struggle with MS. So that was her question.
Yeah, and so what we're going to talk about today is education. We value education. Education's a big thing. And the education around God's Word is the biggest thing we can think of. So we're going to give you the cliff notes on the whole thing about God's will today. And graduates, I would love for you guys and gals to be able to take this and to apply it. And, you better get used to taking notes in college. So, you know, somebody bring some WhatsApps up here for them. They didn't have to worry about that. But can somebody grab some back there and bring them up? Anybody? Is there anybody back there? Thank you. Someone. So to bring them some, that would be great. And thank you for that. But, you know, education about God's will is one of the most important things that you'll ever think, that you'll ever understand. And you know, one of the things that I want us to focus on today is that these are key points that we want you to get in order to begin to understand some principles about God's will. This is less about discovering God's will, but rather these are some principles that all of us need to know and understand because they apply to every one of us. I don't care what your shape is. I don't care what your spiritual gifts are, your family background, etc. All these things apply to you and all of us. And so here's the first one I want us to make sure that we get. It's this one, is that our desires should always equate to God's desires. Our desires should all, that's God's will for our desires, students, graduates, etc., all of us, this is for all of us, it's God's will for our desires to equate to God's desires. If there's an imbalance there, then our lives are going to be out of balance at some level. Todd, the verse there, kind of go over that verse there with us. It's found in 1 John.
1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, God's Word says, "And we are confident that He hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases Him. And since we know He hears us when we make our requests known to Him, we also know that He will give us what we ask for."
So you see the key point there? You see what we've got underlined in that passage, in that scripture? He hears us whenever we ask for anything that what? Pleases Him. So here's the point. When we just simply want to use God as a stamp of approval on what we want to do, and it doesn't have really anything to do with what He wants, guess what? We don't have a guarantee that he even hears that prayer. Do you notice that? How many times have we prayed selfishly? Have you ever prayed selfishly? Anybody ever prayed? Yeah, okay. Those of you who haven't, you're liars, and it's okay. You know that. You pray selfishly. We've all done that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, ACC basketball season. How often do you pray for your team to win, right? You're a Dukie, you're a Heel, you know. You're a Wolfpacker. You need to do a lot of praying then. But, but you know, it's any of y'all going to state, by the way? No, come on, man, no. State's a wonderful institution. I think they're going to kick some fannies this year. We just got to be careful with that class they got coming in. They're going to be good. We better watch what we say. But the point is that God wants our desires to equate to His. That kind of leads us to the second point, that God's will for us is holistic. But what does that word mean, holistic? God's will is for us to live our lives in ways that are holistic. In other words, that God's will, that God Himself penetrates every aspect of our being. Every aspect. And, you know, what does that mean? What does that mean? We did a message series not too long ago on the issue of a holistic life. Remember the passage that we dealt with was 1 Corinthians 12:1. Does anybody know how that one goes? It talks about the soma life. It talks about giving our lives totally to the whole of our lives to God. And the word that's used there, the Greek word, is called soma, which has to do with totality, everything all-encompassing. And here's what I want us to do. Have you ever prayed the Lord's Prayer before? You remember the Lord's Prayer, right? If you're like me, you memorized it when you were young. What version would you have memorized, Todd, you think?
Probably when I played football.
Yeah.
Before every game, we would.
Y'all did it before every game?
Lord's Prayer, yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember how it goes?
Oh, yeah.
Can you recite it for us?
Okay, I'll give it a try. Maybe we can all say it together. So,
Our Father.
But anyway.
Yeah.
Come on, everybody. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever
and ever.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Don't forget that amen.
I felt like I needed to close my eyes while I said that.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you were watching everybody else to see who was actually reciting it, who wasn't. I know what you were doing. Yeah. Yeah, I know what you were doing. But, you know, what version was that?
That's the King James.
That had to be KJV, right?
Yeah. Oh,
the
yeah.
V's and the thys and yes. The thine. And, you know, one of the things that I think that's indicative of it is that many of us, that is the version that, for example, and it just kind of shows you how embedded the Lord's Prayer is into the idea of the life of the Christian, right? Because if when I grew up, for example, pretty much all there was the King James Version. No other versions had really gotten to that much popularity at that point in time. And so, you know, I learned that at a very early age. As a matter of fact, I think it wasn't in my second grade class I remember reciting it in a public school. So, but it's been around a long time. It is a bedrock of the Christian faith, the Lord's Prayer. Now, we call it the Lord's Prayer, but in reality, it's not. The Bible doesn't call it the Lord's Prayer. It's more the model prayer. It's the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray.
Yes.
Right?
That's right.
So what about that? I mean, I know you've studied it. You went to, you've got this big time seminary degree and all that stuff. So what did you learn about it? I mean, what did you learn about the Lord's Prayer?
Well, there's a lot of good stuff in the Lord's Prayer. And and it is a model for us to follow. And I think the key in understanding God's will, and especially the difficult times of life and how to get through those and understand those is all about relationship. And I think what Jesus is really communicating to his disciples that day, and he still tells us today, is that, you know, he's constantly pursuing a love relationship with us.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he wants us to enter into that relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
And he wants us to pray to him. And if our desires are going to become God's desires, And if we're going to allow this holistic view of God become a part of, not just a part of our life, but our entire life, if we're going to decide to follow Christ with our entire life, it all starts with our Father and looking to Him and recognizing God for who He is. And sometimes when we begin to see God for who He really is and how great and big and awesome God really is, then our troubles don't seem quite as big so more.
Yeah.
In fact, they're very small compared to who God is.
Yeah.
And so that's where it starts. It's praising God, praising the Father for who He is and what He's done for us. And I mean, what does He have to do that He hadn't already done? God's a good God, a great God, an awesome God.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, so that's what we need to do. We need to look to Him, and then it goes from praise to making Him the priority in our life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
And there's so many aspects of the Lord's Prayer there that we're just to model that in our own words.
Yeah.
Make it our life.
And what does that mean? Well, first of all, you know what it means when a pastor takes his watch off and puts it down here? Nothing, absolutely nothing.
It means nothing. Whatsoever.
Nothing whatsoever. So don't think there was any reason that we did that. So, but let's dissect the Lord's Prayer. Let's dissect it for a minute. And graduates, this is for you, okay? We want to do this for you today. Todd mentioned praise. The first part of that Lord's Prayer is praise. And as a matter of fact, the way Jesus introduced the Lord's, or the model prayer, was this. This was in the Sermon on the Mount, by the way, which is the largest body of teaching that we see recorded all in one narrative, I guess you might say, in the Gospels. And he starts it out, he's talking about how not to pray. He says this, because a big problem was this. A lot of people like to pray and they like to use big words and that kind of thing because they wanted to impress other people. Now, do y'all like to impress other people? The way to impress people, the best way to impress people is to be who you are and impress them with the reality of the authenticity of your character. But Jesus said, when you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask Him. And then He says, pray like this. And as Todd kind of began to talk about our Father in heaven, praise. Right? Let's give praise. Let's praise for you. He's our Father in heaven. And He says, may your name be kept holy. And another word to say that, and the way of saying that is, in the King James, hallowed be thy name. Right?
Yes. Yep.
So if you ever want to know what hallowed be thy name is, basically is your name needs to be kept holy. And the second one is priority. Priority that Todd mentioned. May your kingdom come soon. Here's the point. When we're praying this prayer, the first request is what? It's not about me. It's not about my grades. It's not about my boyfriend, my girlfriend, my car, etc. It's Jesus, may your kingdom come first. Whatever it is that you have in mind, that needs to take priority over anything that I have in mind.
Let me say something about that, Bud.
Please
because,
do.
Make that a very personal thing for your life, graduates. As you look to the future, wherever you may feel God leading you, and not just our graduates, but everybody here today, you know, when you begin to see God for who He is, and then you begin to pray, God, your kingdom come to my life.
Mm-hmm.
Make it personal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Make that specific as possible. And begin to not only say that to God, but when you say that, listen to Him.
Mm.
Listen to God. And consider how He's at work in your life, what He may impress upon your heart and mind. Watch how He works around you, and join God in what He's doing. Don't go do your own thing. Don't go down your own path, but pray, God, your kingdom come, your will be done
mm-hmm.
on earth as it is in heaven in my life, but not only in your life, but pray for your parents, especially
mm-hmm.
those who may not know Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Say, God, I pray that your kingdom will come, not only in my life, but my parents' life, my brother, my sister, my family, my friends, and be a leader. Don't be a follower. Follow Jesus and be a leader for Jesus. And let other people see Jesus in you, and let the kingdom of God come in your heart, in your life, and begin to show that to others so the kingdom of God can grow through you. That's what God wants. He wants that kind of relationship that reflects Christ to others, and just praying God's kingdom come in our lives, in our family, in our life. That's a very powerful thing.
It is.
Make it personal.
It is. And as a practical point, graduates, let me encourage you to do something. Learn how to live a life of generosity. Live a life of generosity. When you got a waiter or a waitress that takes care of you at the table, tip them more than 15%. Just do it for the heck of it. Just see what God does with it. Yeah, I've got some waitresses around here that says, yeah, hallelujah, yeah, yeah, let's do that, yeah. And they got their cards. They want you to come to their restaurants to demonstrate your life of generosity. So, but live a life of generosity. Do more than what is expected. Give to your church. Give to charities that are in line with what you are burdened about. Give with your time, give with your money, give with everything that you have, because a life of generosity is always going to come back to pay for itself. A life of generosity is an investment, not an expense. And that's something that we have discovered in our family, something that's very important. That's for all of us. Live a life of generosity. Just give. And see what God does when we just give. It's an amazing thing that happens. The next part of the prayer is about provision. What does it say? Lord, give us our, what is it in the KJV?
Daily
bread. Give us what we need. We need you to provide for us, God, because you know what? As talented as we are, we might be at nursing or at psychology or at business or at welding, whatever the case might be. You know what? God, it all comes from you anyway, right? So provide for us. Now, God's provision for you comes through the giftedness that He gives you. And so use that, develop it. Here's something that we need to do as a point of provision. Here's something I want to tell the graduates and all of us. Take care of your stuff. Take care of your stuff. Now, what does that mean? That means everything that you own, take care of it. Don't assume that, oh, well, my cell phone's, you know what, Todd, the speaker sounds a little bit funky on it. You know, I'm going to have to go buy me a new cell phone. You know, I can still hear through it, you know. Yeah, take care of the stuff you have. Take care of the cars that God allows you to own. Take care of the money. Steward it. Be very good about that. Don't hoard. One day you'll have a home. Keep the home clean. And actually, her room's very clean. It's just cluttered, right? It's just between clean and cluttered. Keep it clean and keep it uncluttered, right? But keep it, you know, everything you have, take care of it. Because you know what I found? I found that God blesses those who take good care of the stuff that He allows them to have. Yes. And it's amazing. It's amazing, Todd, I found how, you see, the longevity of things when they're in the possession of people who really take care of them.
True.
It's not just, I believe there's a supernatural effect there. There's a God thing going on, you know, that causes, was that a photo op or something?
Yeah, I was pointing to my wife on that one.
Oh, I thought somebody was taking your picture. I thought somebody was taking your picture. But anyway.
Smiling at me, behind you.
No, thank God. But anyway.
You too, man, you too.
So take care of your stuff. That's for all of us. Take care of our stuff. Here's the next part of the prayer where Jesus says, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive we've forgiven those who sin against us." Now there's two parts in this particular statement here. Pardon, God says, you know, in the prayer, always ask for forgiveness. Here's the thing that we often have a hard time doing. We often have a hard time admitting that we're wrong, right? It's hard for me to say I'm sorry. You know, and for many of us, we don't like to do that. At the heart of an attitude that says I can never say that I'm wrong or I don't ever want to apologize is a root of pride. Okay, pride is the sin that I believe is the enabler of just about every other sin I can think of. It's like everything kind of grows out of this root of pride. And so when we are too proud to admit when we're wrong or to say I'm sorry, then you know what? We got a bit of an issue. So Jesus says, make sure that you know how to say I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Right?
That's so true. And it's getting harder. This prayer is getting harder now.
It is. It really is.
That's the hard part.
Have you thought about maybe Jesus kind of had that in mind as He was going through this?
Probably so.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's going to be people in our lives that wrong us, that spitefully use us. That even best friends sometimes will stab you in the back, and people that said they love you and be your best friend, be your best ally one day, that they could turn their back on you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm,
I've seen this happen in my life. I've seen it happen in other people's lives, and you know, the natural reaction is angry, revenge, get back, whatever it takes, belittle them. Give them the cold shoulder, avoid them.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about it is that, like Jesus is communicating here, you know, let Him, heal you of that. Let Him take that anger away. Just rid yourself of that stuff, because you'll never overcome evil with evil, but you only overcome evil with good. And forgiveness doesn't set the other person free. It sets you free.
Mm-hmm.
And And if you want to live a healthy, long life that's full of God's blessing and all that He wants for your life, you're going to have to be quick to forgive, forgive others, and love others, even your enemies. So,
and here's the other thing. Here's the other thing I remember to graduates, this is for you, but it's for all of us again. Everything we're saying, we keep saying that, don't we? It's for all of us, but really, we're going to hear a lot of this to them today. Learn conflict resolution skills. Learn conflict resolution skills. All of us, learn conflict resolution skills. Now, you all, probably, where you come from, you've never had to deal with real conflict like you're going to have to deal with in the future. So your best thing you can do is learn how to do it now. Understand the issues that are really important, because they're the things that you really want to go to the mat on. Ask yourself the question, is this something that really matters before we get into an issue around something? And for all of us adults, you know, look, we sometimes engage in conflict around the stupidest things. We drain our energy. We absolutely take our emotional energy and say, okay, I don't need it anymore, so I'm just going to throw it away on something that doesn't really matter. Learn what really matters and engage in healthy conflict, which is honest, face-to-face, not Facebook, not texting, not emailing. And this is for all of us.
Nothing
because
wrong with that, but face-to-face contact is always the best.
It's always the best.
No matter how good technological we get,
absolutely.
Face-to-face is always the
best. It's the only way. If you got to get in your car to drive to see somebody to take care of a conflict, do it. Please do it. That's healthy conflict resolution. And so, just trust us that that's something that we need to do. And here's the second part of that verse, Todd. You mentioned how this prayer is getting harder. Mm. It says, forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. Mm-hmm. Do you realize that that's a condition? That's almost a conditional thing that we're asking God?
Yep.
So, look, here it is. God, forgive me just as I have forgiven others. Now, if I have chosen not to forgive others, and I pray that prayer, what am I saying?
Right.
Don't forgive me, God.
It's a sign that you haven't been forgiven yourself, and you've never truly experienced the forgiveness of God.
Exactly.
You've got to forgive others like He's forgiven you.
There you go.
To those who show mercy will be shown mercy.
Yep, that's perfect. Yep. Did you write that?
No, that's Bible.
Oh, okay. That sounds really good. So, anyway, I was going to give you credit for it. But anyway, but really, if I'm going to pray, God, forgive me as I have forgiven others, you know what? I need to make sure that I'm doing my part in forgiving others, right? So understand that when we pray that. And by the way, if you're not, say, I'm not going to pray that, so I don't have to worry about that prayer. You don't have an option not to, because Jesus commanded us to pray this prayer, right? Yep. It's not like this is an optional prayer. Jesus says, pray this prayer, and you know what? By praying it, you know, this is going to drill into you the things that you have got to live by. These are the important things that you must understand, right?
Absolutely.
So here's the other thing. Personal relationships, Todd already mentioned this. Let me just encourage you to do this. Give others the benefit of the doubt. Learn how to treat others with deference. What does that mean? Philippians 2:3 says simply, think of others more highly than you think of yourself. Okay, that's not an easy thing to do. Because for so many of us in the world we live in, it's so easy, isn't it, to be caught up in the me first kind of deal and do it my way. And that's the way I want to do it. And, you know, it's just who are you looking at this time?
I thought I heard something.
Oh, okay. I thought you were looking at somebody in specific on that side of the room. But anyway.
We're having such a good time up here.
We are. It is a lot of fun, isn't it? Yeah, your wife's giving you a look right now. She's like, you weren't looking at me, were you? But anyway, so you need to work that out after worship service today. Okay. The last part of the prayer is protection. I'm just picking, Christy. You know I'm just joking with you. Protection. Look at what it says. Don't yield to temptation. Don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. How many of us know about temptation? Temptation is a difficult thing to deal with. Some of you who naively went like this and said, I don't know about temptation. You better learn real quick, because whether you're a high schooler going to college or a college person going into the real world, temptation is going to come, and it is going to become stronger all the time. And you've got to make sure that you have your force field up. And your only force field you've got is found in this prayer, is Jesus, is the Holy Spirit, right? It's all grounded in a relationship with Him. Don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. Yeah, that's the model prayer. When we did it, you know, when we kind of recite it, we've kind of added that last phrase that's not really in the Bible, not really found in the Gospels. You know, forgive us our you know, debts as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not in temptation, but what? Deliver us from evil. For then this part right here, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever, was not technically something that Jesus said. It was added in the early church to kind of give it a nice closure, and it's a very appropriate stating, a statement ready to close that. Because the last part of the verse, the way Jesus said it, goes like this: if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Okay? So please, forgive. Live a life of generosity. Live a life of forgiveness. All right? Instead of making people prove to you that they deserve your forgiveness, ask yourself, am I entitled to withhold forgiveness? Switch the question around. Any closing words on the Lord's Prayer, Todd?
Well, it's all about knowing God.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about knowing Him. It's all about a relationship, a real, personal, practical love relationship.
Knowing what He wants. Knowing what He wants. Yeah, living it out. The third thing, here's the third point. We're gonna really race through the rest of this now.
Yep.
So God's will has much more to do with what God sees as best than what I see as best. Now, we've kind of already said that, but we want to share a scripture with you that's found in Isaiah 55. So it goes like this. Start. You only got maybe verse 9 on your outline, but Todd, go with verse 8 and 9 on that. It's on the screen. It's on the notes.
Okay.
You got 8 and 9 both? Okay, cool.
My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything you can imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways are higher than your ways. And my thoughts are higher than your thoughts.
Yeah, yeah. He's basically saying, I'm smarter than you, so just realize it.
Even more than we can imagine.
Even more than we can, and get over it, right?
Yeah.
I know that I'm God, you're not. Trust me, my ways are better. And so God's will has more to do with what God sees is best for me than what I see is best. All right, let me tell you something. It's for graduates, for all of us again. I say that again, right? All of us. Be careful of spiritual mismatches. All of you are going to engage in relationships with members of the opposite sex, I mean gender, okay? I can't use that S word, right, in church. But anyway, you're going to all engage in relationships with the opposite gender. Do not allow yourself to get caught up in a spiritual mismatch. What's a spiritual mismatch? What is it? One's cup's full, is one empty. Believer, non-believer. How about this? Believer who is really mature, believer who is not really mature. Okay?
Yeah, I've seen some really great, strong young women, young men of God, and then they go out of the home, they might go to college or go into the workplace and begin associating with the wrong crowd, and they might pick that wrong boyfriend or girlfriend,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
they were way up here with God, and all of a sudden,
yeah,
they find themselves at a very low place.
Yeah.
It's so important.
Yeah.
That's such a good word there. Be very careful mm-hmm. about the friends that you pick.
Yep.
And I know when I went to Garden Web, after I graduated from high school, one of the best things that I did is I got involved with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes.
Yeah, there you go.
With a great there group there
mm-hmm.
of Christian people
mm-hmm.
and has a great group of Christian friends. And that was very important because I
mm-hmm.
spent so much time
mm-hmm.
on the football field and locker room with all those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I needed that strong Christian friendship, encouragement, fellowship with those, you know, with good strong Christian friends.
Absolutely,
Yeah, be real careful with that. It's so important.
Yeah,
God
yeah.
has somebody special out there for you.
He
you
does.
You got to wait on them.
You got to wait, and you got to be patient. You can't force the issue, okay? That I'm saying that to graduates, but you know who else I'm saying it to, right? Everybody else, all of us. Do not force God's hand Wait, be patient. You've got the rest of your life to live. I don't care if you're 50 or 60 years old. I don't care if you're 18 years old. You got the rest of your life to live, and that is a long time. And so make sure that you live it with the one that God has for you. Don't force His hand. Do not create a spiritual mismatch. You will wind up paying for that forever. You never stop paying for a spiritual mismatch relationship. Does that kind of make sense? Kind of clear as mud? Kind of with me on that? Graduates, y'all got that one? Y'all got that one? They're like, duh, will you shut up and move on, please? We want to get out of here. I don't, Bojangles is up there. We want to have breakfast. But anyway, I don't blame them, actually. I'd make myself hungry talking about it a little bit. But so anyway, here's the thing. Here, I would encourage you, if you're a Christ follower, don't date anybody that you cannot pray with. If you say, nah, we don't, I can't really pray with them, don't date them. If you're in a relationship right now, ask them, can we pray together? Can you pray with me? Can you do that? And if the answer is, well, no, then you say, well, we got some serious examination to do with this relationship. We really do. That goes for whether you're 18, 22, or 40, or 50, or 60, whatever the case might be. If you can't pray with them, that is probably a relationship that is not going to be real healthy for you. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So anyway, moving on to the next one here that's really important is this. God develops His... Oh, this one's tough. I don't like this one at all, okay? It's very difficult. It goes like this. God develops His character. Now, it says His will, but I want you to mark through in your outline because I just changed this morning. I didn't tell our media team. But God develops His character in us, all right, through the school of hard knocks. You know what the school of hard knocks is? It's pretty much what Todd would like to do to me sometimes, give me hard knocks as his boss when I ask him, when I kind of say something or don't want to, you know, I say something stupid or whatever to make them do something. Never, your sweetheart. But, you know, the school of hard knocks is what it's when we get knocked around. It's when we get knocked around, when life just knocks us around and just beats the stinky out of us sometimes, you know? It just does. Have you ever been there? Yeah. Yeah, look at what the Scripture says. Look, James 1 says, dear brothers, and this is not an encouraging verse. Look, dear brothers and sisters, dear, like James is trying to soften the blow. When somebody comes to you and says, dear students, or graduates, you're not students, you're graduates. When they say dear, just kind of look for the other shoe to drop, right? Because that's what James is doing here. He says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Right? When hard times come your way, consider an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. So what do you say to that one, big boy?
You know, what I say to that is that when people give you hard times, and when you go through hard times, instead of just getting bitter and angry and wanting to get back, just wear it as a badge of courage and say, you know what, I'm just going to get more from God because I'm being persecuted here, or I've been made fun of, or I'm not in the in crowd, or whatever it may be. You know, dare to be different. Dare to be different. Yeah. And when those hard times come, you know, praise God anyway and know that, hey, God just has something better, has something even greater for you. You'll receive even a richer welcome into God's kingdom in heaven one day. Mm-hmm. And I think it's for the joy that's, you know, the Bible says that Jesus endured the cross and scorned its shame for the joy that was set before Him. And I think it's forward looking. It's looking to the eternal. It's looking to Christ. It's looking to God, knowing that you're going to get more from Christ, that these light and momentary troubles that don't seem too light and momentary at the time are actually accomplishing for us an eternal good that far outweighs anything that we could ever go through or suffer.
So in that freshman year, when your GPA really sucks that first year, okay. Right? All just right. just Just say, you know what? This is life. This is going to be different. One of the things that really, you know, I took my daughter and a friend. We went to freshman orientation this week at UNCW, right? And so one of the things that the guy reminded them of and reminded us as parents of is that, you know, you, and this is for you all. In, those of you who are going on, you know, many of you, you were in high school situations where you were it. You know, you were the smart ones, maybe you're the ones in, you know, you. And so when you go to that next level, you're just one of many. There's nothing special anymore.
True.
And, you know, the further you move on in life and you move out into life, the more you have to take hold of things and create your own circumstances. And when you do that, you wind up going through a lot of things that are going to hurt. They're going to knock you around. That school of hard knocks is a really, really big deal. So anyway, that verse is really important. Now, in John 16, Jesus said this, "I've told you all this so you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows." Does that strike you anywhere? Uh-huh. Yeah, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. I've overcome the world. One of our members sent me an email today and said, "Bud, where's this verse? What's the verse that's going to help people understand how to go through trials and tribulations and all?" And one of those is found in 2 Corinthians 12. Paul said, "Even though I've received such wonderful revelations from God, so to keep me from becoming proud," there's proud, the root word of which is pride, which is the further root of pretty much all sin, right, when you get down to it, right? "To keep me from getting proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud." Now, we don't know what specific thorn in the flesh Paul was talking about, but we know he understood why God gave it to him. He said, "Three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said to me," here's what we need to remember, because God says this to us, "My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me." And in 1 Corinthians 10, this is another verse that I gave the gentleman who asked me about the verse the other week. "Remember, the temptations that come into your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will keep the temptation from becoming so strong that you can't stand up against it. When you're tempted, he will show you the way out so that you will not give into it." So here's the point. If you're a Christ follower, if the Holy Spirit lives in you, whatever temptation comes your way, you have the power through the Holy Spirit to deflect it. Now, whether or not we choose to call on that power of deflection, otherwise known as the Holy Spirit, that's another issue. But we have the power at our access. There's fifth thing as we wind down. Sickness, and this is just something we're going to try to just tie into the original question that Todd talked to you about. Something we need to understand about God's will. Sickness results not from God's will, but from the natural order of choices since the fall of man. Sickness entered into the human race as a result of the sin in the garden when Adam and Eve ate of the fruit of the forbidden tree. All right? And so here's an example, an encounter that Jesus had as recorded in John chapter 9. And we begin at verse 1. "As Jesus was walking along," you're going to get sick. We're all going to get sick, okay? It is not because that God is laying sickness on us, all right? "As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth." Rabbi, this is what the disciples would call him. The disciples asked him, "Why was this man born blind?" Look at this. "Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins?" Now, there is such a thing as generational sin and generational curses, okay? That's kind of, it's a different thing that's not in terms of the scope of what we're talking about right here. And so, it was not, and Jesus says, it was not because of his sins or of his parents' sins. This happened so that the power of God could be seen in him. Now, remember a couple minutes ago what Todd said about, you know, having a chance to glorify God and all through the difficult times? That's it. We've got to learn to glorify God, to trust him through the difficult times, even when sickness comes. God always promises to heal, right? It's just that the ultimate healing might be what? Physical death and eternity with Jesus in a perfect body, which is really the ultimate healing anyway, right, that we need to understand. So here's the other thing I want to say to our graduates and to everybody. Take care of your bodies. Don't put into it anything that would cause it harm. Don't get addicted to stuff. Don't get anything grasp you so much that you have to have it. Well, some people say, well, sir, you can get addicted to food, bud. Yeah, but you got to have food to survive. Okay? There's a lot of other things that we get addicted to that we don't need to survive. They're not absolute necessities. It's one thing, I think, to get addicted on the things that are necessities anyway, mm-hmm. right?
Well, you know, the way I look at it is that nothing's evil in and of itself. It's the abuse of it.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You know, it's the abuse of drugs. It's the abuse of alcohol. It's the abuse of food, of whatever. And we tend to go in excess.
Mm-hmm.
And we're tempted, and we'll fall into temptation and we'll abuse things. And that, yeah, we don't. Bible says to run away from things like that.
Yeah, anything that's going
to
harm you.
Yeah, stay healthy and take care of your body. It's a temple of God, the Holy Spirit, and that God will give you the power you need to overcome.
Yeah, so take care of your body, your mind, and your soul. Take care of all of them. Spend time. You know, you got your Blackberries, you got your phones and everything. Go to YouVersion of the Bible and just get a download to where it can give you a daily reading. Just pull it out. Not while you're driving or anything, but, you know, when you get a chance, just pull it up. There's your daily reading right on the screen. Read Scripture. Every day. Do it. Just go through it. You know, your day will turn out differently. Your mindset will be different. You'll approach the day from a different perspective. Here's the final thing that we want to make sure that we leave you with.
Yes.
And this is probably the most important point, but seeking God's will leads to God's best for me. You won't always hit the mark on God's will. We're human. We make mistakes. We mess up at times. We follow our own way instead of God's way. But just want to leave you with this verse. And Ty, why don't you read it? I mean, it's another one of those verses that we heard it a lot on Mother's Day.
Yeah,
we did
for baby dedication.
Parents,
this one I've memorized.
Yeah, absolutely.
Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He'll make straight your path.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. He'll make straight your path. You know, it's pretty cool that when you seek God that He'll... Now, here's the point. The path that God makes straight for you is not always the path that you will want to travel. Y'all got that, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay. The path that God has set out for you is not always the path that you want to travel. We are still endangered by our free will in this regard. How many times have we said this? Free will is the greatest blessing God ever gave us. It may be also the greatest curse, right?
Yeah.
Because when we exercise it the wrong way and we go down the wrong path, the consequences can be grave.
Yeah, you know, let me just say that, you know, a lot of things come in our lives and we don't always understand.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things that we'll never understand.
Hmm.
And I think when we get to heaven, it'll all be worth it.
Yeah.
And we see Jesus' face and we'll understand better then.
Yeah.
But you know, all that God has for our life is not dependent on our circumstances and what may happen around us. It's all dependent on our relationship with Him. How many times have we said that this morning?
Absolutely.
That relationship with Jesus. And just as we come to a close this morning, I just want to say that, you know, these graduates here, they're at a time in their life where a lot of change, rapid change
absolutely.
Is happening. And they're going to change for the better or for the worse. And we're just trying to encourage y'all because we love y'all so much. You have a family that loves you. You have a church family. We love you. We care about you so much. We want God's best for you. And we want to encourage you to follow God's ways. Build and develop that personal relationship with Jesus. And not just these graduates, but all of us. You know, we all go through change. You know, I heard somebody say one time that people never change. That was a pretty depressed person that made that comment.
Probably.
Yeah. And, you know, people do change.
Yeah.
And we're all changing.
Yeah.
For the better or for the worse. And it's, you know, our choice.
Hmm.
That free will, like you were talking about.
And,
and I just want to encourage everybody this morning with these words that just like trusting God with all your heart. I know the most difficult times of my life that I've been through, it's just those simple words that God this whispered in my heart that was louder than any audible voice when he said, just trust me. Trust me, I got everything under control.
That's huge.
So just trust Jesus.
Yep, do that. Todd put together some application questions at the end of your outline today. So we've included those on there, and we would love for you to struggle with those.
Yeah.
Okay? Pete, just kind of run them through here real quickly so we can see them on the screen if you don't mind. Just run through all of them. And they're there. They're on your outline. We would love for you to really ask these questions and really try to ask God, you know, am I really living this out? Is this really who I am? And graduates, you too, you know, take this away. Look, you're going to be, here's the thing. When you do your graduation thing, there's so many pieces of paper that are put in your hands. When I went to orientation the other day, I still got the bag at home that I haven't even gone through, you know. And the problem is, there's so many things that we take and that we put aside, we'll think we'll get to it. We'll get to it tomorrow, but tomorrow what? Usually never comes in that respect. So these are some words that we want you to be able to take. We're going to put these on the website. We're going to ask our web guru to put these in a very prominent place on our website so that you'll be able to access these and think about the truths that God has given us about his will, because these things are so critically important for us to understand. So let's pray and just bring this time to a close today. We encourage you to live for God, to live for Jesus, and know the first part of his will for you is that you give your life, your heart, your mind, your soul to him totally. And there's a place on the back of that connection card in the seat back in front of you that's called How to Build a Spiritual Base for My Life. You know, we would love for you to just take that and go through those steps on your own privately and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Then let us know. And you can take part in something that we're going to celebrate in our second service today, and that is baptism, as we have some folks, some teenagers, who are going to be acknowledging their personal relationship with Jesus through baptism. So let's pray today. Father, thank you for your day and for your love. Thank you for your will. Thank you for the way, God, that you have brought these graduates to this part in their lives, this point where they have so much to look forward to, and yet at the same time, there's so many challenges that they're going to have ahead of them. So, Father, bless them, guide them, strengthen them, use them. Lord, may they truly focus on you to live for you in a beautiful and special way. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. We got a song that the band's going to do that we're going to dedicate to them grads. So listen to the words of this song, and it's going to be a good one. Thank you.
Love the person standing next to you?
Yeah.
Be careful.
Yes.
Be careful. Get away from me. Hey, are you guys coming to the park Friday night? Anybody? Friday night, the main stage in Burlington City Park from 7 to 9. Lamb's Chapel and Integrity Church will be live. And we're so excited about that night. Lamb's Chapel goes first, and then yours truly goes after that. So
the main event. Yeah.
The main event. And we're so excited about that. We wanted to tell them about something coming up.
Yeah.
2 weeks from today, it's going to be a man's world in here on Father's Day. 2 weeks from today. And I don't know if we have any manly men that can sing on key, but we're trying to gather an all-men's group to sing a song on Father's Day. If you can sing on key and you ain't chicken, you got the oomph. Mark men on your connection card, and we will call you and let you know what's up.
Yeah.
Bud's going to sing, I think. And
Jonathan
Day is going to be singing. Todd Felkel's even going to be singing. So if you got the guts, come on, Mark men on your connection card.
Hey, thanks for being here today. It's been a blast. We will see you next week. Don't forget to drop your Integrity connection cards onto your offerings and your tithes from our regulars. And the boxes in the back. Have an awesome week. God bless. Take care.
You think we've gotten too radical with our message? Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know.